And welcome back, footy fans. We have come to it. We are so close to footy. We are so close to footy. I have been waiting for it up here in the cold and the snow. Thankfully, Mother Nature's been kind of nice to me this year, but we are here. We have our first State League season preview to hop on as we start way out west in Perth. So joining me from WA, we have from WA Footy Facts, the founder and the extraordinaire of the website, Mr. Rick Gouchee. Rick, great to see you again, sir.
Hey Donnie, great to be back for a second year, mate. It's looking forward to having another chat or a few over the season, and looking forward to previewing the upcoming women's and men's waffle for 2024 with you.
Fantastic. And caller extraordinaire and joining us this year on the podcast, Mr. Paul Persick. Paul, great to see you, sir.
Thank you, Donnie. Great to see you as well. And likewise for you, Rick. Great to see you. Great to be a part of the podcast for 2024. It's going to be a great year in the Waffle Men's and Waffle Women's competition. Can't wait to get into it.
I cannot wait. I know this will make for some very late nights when it comes to watching the footy, but you know what? I love this competition. It is so much fun. So let's jump into it, gentlemen. The Waffle and the Waffle W are so close to getting started. I know the women's comp starts a few weeks earlier, but let's jump into it. We were chatting a little bit off mic before we hit the record button of some off-season changes. So, gentlemen, as I kind of told you, I don't get a lot of news. Let's approach one that's not as good. Unfortunately, we had another issue of a points deduction. So, Paul, I'll jump right to you. With a points deduction to start this year, who is starting off negative on the ladder?
Well, in the men's competition, East Fremantle, the reigning premiers, are going to start off on negative four. Just before the final series, there was reports of a salary cap breach from East Fremantle, and we didn't know at the time what sort of salary cap breach, to what extent it was. Then we found out it was East Fremantle, pretty much the same as it was with South Fremantle the year before, of like player points, player payments, who's getting this and that. And as a result, East Fremantle were deducted four premiership points. And I was quite surprised about that at first, because there had already been a precedent set the year before with South Fremantle getting deducted eight premiership points. I think it might be due to the severity of how many players were getting these payments, or how much money these players were getting paid, and so on and so forth. I think the precedent needs to remain consistent. I think that should have stayed with eight, regardless of where they are on the ladder or where they finished the year before. So I'm quite surprised that it's only four for one team and then eight on the other. It was quite a surprise about that. But East Fremantle, nonetheless, they'll be starting on negative four come round one in 2024.
Definitely going to be difficult a little bit for sure, but being a team coming off a premiership, maybe they'll be able to fight back, because I know South Fremantle, they just never really could get out of that hole that they unfortunately started with in the off season. So Rick, I'll jump to you on this one. I know as a Swans tragic, how are things looking at at Swans when it comes to the men?
Yeah, Ben Donny. Yeah, so a few imports have come in to replace a few exports, I guess. So we had a few, or Swans had a bit of an exodus at the end of the season. Some of their Victorian recruits that have been in the club for a couple of years, a Sandover medalist in Sam Fisher, a former Sydney Swan player, Donny, you may be familiar with. Christopher Jones, who was a co-captain, and Jesse Palmer, a former Port Power listed player, and Jed Kemp, sorry, that's the wrong Kemp, Ryan Kemp, have all left and gone home. But we've replaced them with a Norwood player in Nick Rocker. He was, I think, runner up in the last two McGarry medalists, and a Ferris and Best winner at Norwood. Jai Chalkcraft is coming over from Geelong VFL side. We've got a couple of people from Geelong. We had Jackson Jackson McLaughlin came over last year. Sorry, getting my names mixed up. Me and my tongue's got to get back into action for the pods. So he came over, and another young guy, Panicchio, I think he's pronounced his name. He's also previously from Geelong as well. So they've got a couple of new recruits. I guess Swans, with winning the reserves premiership last year, will be looking for some of their young players that played in that reserves team to step up and fill some of those gaps in the league side for 2024. So I'm excited, but again, this time every year, I'm always excited to see how my team is going to go. I think we all do with our own teams every year. looking forward to the new players, and you never know, there could be some kids out of the Colts that come up. Swans weren't very good in that in the Colts grade last year, but traditionally have been. But you look at some of the other clubs, there's always going to be two or three players that come up from the Colts and reserves and really play a big part in their league sides for next year. So I'm looking forward to a really exciting season for my Swans and plenty of other teams and players.
Yeah, it's good. It's always interesting. I know we went back and forth a lot, and I know you had that little black and white part of you. So I had to say developed a little bit of a soft spot for Swans last year, especially in the men's with their affliction for some close games, especially in the year. So, well, Paul, we'll jump back
Sure.
to you with some off-season moves, either men's or women's, that kind of picture here is that you're excited to see them donning some new colors.
Well, I think most of the off-season moves that have got me pretty excited have actually gone to the Perth Football Club. Perth through, not only the power and expertise of their president, Adrian Barrich, who is, dare I say, gotten the little checkbook out to make a couple of big signings. Of course, they got some big signings as well, particularly from the Gold Coast and Geelong. The most talked about is actually Charlie Constable, who's coming off a premiership with the VFL side of the Gold Coast, and among other players as well. So I reckon with those signings, they're going to bring something new and exciting to the Perth Football Club, and it could mean an early sign of some long-term improvement for the Demons. I only won once or twice last year, but they didn't have those signings yet. So that's something I'm really looking forward to in regards to the Perth Football Club as well. There was a big surprise only just recently as far as West Perth has been concerned, not only with the departures of Blake Wilhelm, former Premiership player, Aaron Black relinquished his captaincy after 6 years leading the helm. Dean Munns is going to be the sole captain of West Perth in 2024, but Sam Rotham, he's left West Perth to maintain his employment at the West Coast Eagles because he's currently involved in the coaching capacity of the West Coast Eagles. And there's this rule that if you want to stay employed at West Coast, you've got to depart your waffle club that you're playing at. It's a very bizarre rule. Sam Rotham, unfortunately, has had to, knock West Perth on the head and go to the West Coast Eagles to maintain his employment at that very club. So a couple of bizarre movements. And as Rick mentioned, some exciting new recruits for Swan Districts. Nick Rocker, I reckon, is going to be one I'm really keen to watch. He impressed in the last couple of state games for South Australia that he played against Western Australia, both of them winning performances for that matter. So some good season recruits for a couple of clubs.
Definitely, for sure. And then I know, at least on the women's side, West Perth picked up Tarni Golisano from the Subiaco
Massive.
Lions. It'll be interesting to see that move there, because I know with her veteran leadership, it'll be interesting to see what she does with the Falcons this year. So we'll kind of wrap up the offseason again. And unfortunately, me being so far away, and this offseason has been relatively quiet news-wise, which sometimes you thank the Lord for that, but sometimes you don't. So when you have things to talk about. So we'll jump to the burning questions, and we'll do a little section of both the women's and the men's. I have some questions that I want you guys to answer for me, just to kind of get us ready for the season before we go into prediction mode, which sometimes will be fun, but I'm really fascinated on this one. So we'll start on the women's competition. Paul, we'll start with you. What's the team that you're going to keep your eye on this year in the comp? What's the team that you think is going to be box office to watch this season?
I think it's going to be the two teams that we've seen in grand finals in the last couple of years, East Fremantle and Claremont. I mean, they have been the teams to beat, exciting teams to watch in the last couple of years. Of course, Claremont winning a grand final in 2022, East Fremantle getting some revenge against the odds in 2023. And they've got some exciting players in their side to watch, both an exciting, electric, attacking brand of football. But one that I reckon could cause a few surprises is actually West Perth. Golisano, as you mentioned, coming back from Subiaco. Cameron, one of the other big recruits for West Perth, and the return of their captain, Catherine Bennett, who is a great forward midfielder, always goes on the attack when the ball is at ground level. And I think that's going to be an added strength for the West Perth Football Club come 2024. Bennett missed half the season. She was travelling all around Central America and Europe for half the season. They really missed her input as far as leadership is concerned. But she's back there for the full season. And I reckon West Perth could surprise a few, I reckon, because they've got a new coach as well in Clint Degerbrock, who I reckon is going to bring some added spark to West Perth this year.
It'll be fascinating. And I know, Rick, I know you're going to be keeping an eye on your Swans. So is there another team that maybe, when if you keep an eye on the women's competition, that pique your interest?
For me, I think, again, similar to what Paul was saying with the top two clubs, I think South Fremantle might take a further step forward this year. The first year last season where they really started to win some games, and I think won 10 and a half games for the season and really pushed both Claremont and East Fremantle through the finals. And I think if you think of West Perth, as Paul said, they've had a couple of years in the competition now, not getting a win for the first couple of seasons, then last year having 5 wins. So I think they are definitely on the up and improve. It's generally pretty even in the women's league. So it's quite possible that West Perth or even a Peel, who were down the bottom toward last season, can also push it up to the finals. But yeah, I can't see past the top three at the moment, being Claremont, South, and East Fremantle. It's not too difficult to say that, as they were in those positions last year, I guess. But yeah, we'll wait and see.
Well, and one that I'm going to keep an eye on would be Subiaco, considering they were in the finals pretty much all year long, and Swans jumped them in the last couple of rounds to make that final spot. Plus, and as we said, Tarni Golisano moving from Subi, so it'll be interesting to keep track of the Lions too, because can they bounce back from a season where they fell short? They didn't make the final, so it'll be fun to see how the Lions respond. As a Swans member, as a Sydney Swans supporter, I have to say this is one I'm going to keep an eye on, and that is East Perth. The fact that East Perth did not get a win last year, but they were improving as the season went on. You could tell early in the year they were the whipping women of the competition. Can East Perth get a first win, and a first ever Waffle win this season, or is this another year of development? Paul, we'll start with you.
I think they can get a win. I reckon they've got what it takes. They've got what it takes to not only win games, and I'm going to up the ante. I reckon they can sneak into the four. I reckon they can sneak into the four in 2024, just with the side that they've got, the developing talent that was there. I caught a couple of their games for Streamer last year, and they were very competitive. They weren't getting thrashed all the time. They weren't getting thrashed as much as many had expected them to be. And they've got a couple of great new additions to the football department as well. The most important one being General Holmes, the new coach, the new East Perth coach, has made several structural changes both to the squad and the playing group, which has been a real big positive for the East Perth Football Club. They're right on cue for their rise in development, their further development in the WAFLW competition. So I'm looking forward to seeing how East Perth improve. And call me crazy, I reckon they'll just get into the four.
It'll be interesting. I really hope they do. I really hope they do, because it's I can tell last year towards the end of the season, I completely agree with you. As the year went on, they got more and more competitive. They were playing teams around the four and even just outside the four, very, very close. So I agree with you. I think a first win is very, very close for the Royals, and it would be fantastic to see them maybe pull a Sydney Swans in the AFLW and somehow make finals in their second season after a winless year. That would be fantastic. So we'll jump to it. Is there a team who missed finals last year who you think can make it? I'm interested to see what you guys think of, because again, Subiaco and then West Perth with their changes. Is there that team that will make finals this year? Paul's already kind of said East Perth is his Smoky. So Rick, I know you're a huge Swan supporter. Can Subi, West Perth, East Perth, or Peel make finals this year?
Oh, definitely. Obviously, Paul's very confident East Perth will rise up the ladder, which is must be hard for him as a West Perth supporter to say that. But good on you. I'm not convinced that, mind you. I don't know the women's league and their players as well as I do with the men, so it's a bit hard for me to comment exactly on that aspect. But Paul's seen something in East Perth, so they obviously got an opportunity there. Subi generally are pretty strong, and Peel have sort of fallen off the last couple of years, so I think it's quite possible maybe that fourth place is up in the air, behind the three teams I mentioned earlier. So yeah, I might say, let's just throw one out there. I will go say Peel. Maybe they might bounce back this year. But I'm not saying that with any confidence or conviction. So it's likely one of the teams may come up. And let's hope they do. Let's hope one of the West Perths or the Peels or East Perth, who have been down for the few years in the competition, the last few years, do bounce back. That'll be good to see.
Yeah, and then I'm gonna jump right in. I think it's West Perth. I think the additions are there. It'll be interesting to see how Swans handle it. Again, they got in. They started playing some really good footy. I think Subi maybe with a couple with the loss of Golisano, maybe we'll have to see how that kind of goes. And then as Paul said, they get their captain back. They get another addition plus Golisano. I think this is a West Perth team that might really find their stride. So it'll be fun. But Swan's played really well. And then if his East Perth is call is anywhere near correct, this could be a very fascinating and very entertaining season at in W Waffle W level. So we'll go to it, and maybe it's me, but I know that Americans love our dynasties. But I'm gonna ask it: can East Frio repeat as premiers this year, or do Claremont return the favor and get them back for spoiling a potentially undefeated season? Paul, we'll start with you. Can the Sharkies do it again, or is Claremont destined to get that premiership that just evaded them last year?
I tell you what, it's going to be hard to say because this season was absolutely incredible. It was a very open season. It may not, look that way with the positions of the ladder, but we saw so much competitive footy in the Waffle W, and that's what makes the competition so great. And you were right, East Fremantle, they spoiled that unbeaten season of Claremont. Now, keep in mind, they had a draw at the Wacker one time, so they could produce some close footy again this season. But I'm actually going to say this. I'm going to throw a little bit of a whammy in here. I don't think either of them will win the premiership. I don't think either of them. I'm going to say actually South Fremantle. I reckon it'll be South Fremantle's year. I mean, the way they rose up the ladder, and they've got a very attacking brand of football, sort of similar to Claremont and East Fremantle, but I reckon they've got a little bit more physicality in store for those two teams. So I reckon this year could be the year of the Bulldog, with their rise up the ladder, winning 10 games, after spending the first 2 years of competition, even struggling to get a good string of wins, to get 10 wins and to go as far as to a preliminary final. That's a huge statement, to say to the competition that South Fremantle, they are really meaning business, and they'll mean business again this year. I reckon this year in the Waffle W will be the Bulldogs' year.
Yeah, it'll be very interesting. Plus the fact Claremont lost a couple. Claremont had a few drafted. Yeah, East Fremantle, Georgie Clever. How many games will she play this year with her netball career? Plus the fact that she's on an AFLW list now. So it'll be very interesting to see how it goes. I'm with you, Sal. I think South Fremantle is a very much a smoky. So we'll save our full-on predictions for a little bit later. We'll jump to the burning questions for the men, which I know Rick is kind of chuckling because this is a little bit more his expertise area. So we'll start with him. Besides your Swans, let's take your Swans out just for a second. I know it's difficult. What is the team that you're going to keep an eye on in the comp this year in the men on the men's side besides your Swans?
Well, Paul touched on it in his comment around the recruits that Perth have got. So, as a Waffle fan, you feel for the Perth supporters. It's been a very long time, 1977, since they've had a premiership and been in the grand final. They've recruited really well, so it'd be a shame not to see them lift up the ladder. So I'm thinking they're going to be big improvers from, the 2 wins, 2.5 wins last year. I reckon they can push to a 50-50 record, which will get them sort of in touch with the top five. Whether they can sneak in this year, maybe not. Maybe it's more a 2 year thing for them. I think South Fremantle will bounce back. I said this last year. I think the Eagles, depending on their injury list in the AFL, may well push up the ladder and get some wins. So I think there's a lot of teams that failed to make the finals. West Perth tend to be up and down after a premiership. They get a premiership, then fall down the ladder, and then bounce straight back up again. So I wouldn't be surprised if they get in there. Unfortunately, only five teams can fit in the finals. So I'm going to say this year, I'm going to hold out hope for Perth and say they're the big improvers for this season. And I'm looking forward to seeing that happen.
Fantastic, Paul.
Yeah, I'm with Rick there. I reckon it's going to be really interesting to see how Perth can continue this long-term improvement. Even Peter German said it himself. Success that's not going to be expected right away. You always got to look at the long-term picture. And I think Peter German has done a good job of that at setting up the initial year. 2 wins, okay. Maybe they can look for about maybe 6 or 7 this year. If it's 6 or 7 wins, that'll be a pass mark. And I'm not going to be biased here. I'm just going to say this. I'm really looking forward to seeing how West Perth can bounce back as well. I mean, they finished off the year with a really strong positive note. 6 straight wins, but it was too little too late. You know what they say? All dressed up, but nowhere to go because they didn't make the five despite 6 straight wins. And they've still got some really good young players that are, really making a name for themselves. Joseph Hinder in particular as well. South Fremantle, I'm really keen to see how they bounce back. They've got Hayden Schboyth coming back for 2024, which is a really big get. They've got Isaiah Winder in the side as well. But also Luke Polson, who's a 196-centimeter athletic utility who can really shape up well in the ruck. He's going to be one to watch out for. But I think as far as the teams that I'm looking to see improve by a big, big way, I'm going to say East Perth as well. The fact that they know now about finals experience. They got a finals lesson in that elimination final against Claremont. They know now that they want to strive for September action again. And look at the side they got on paper. Unbelievable. Brayshaw, Crowden, Scotty Jones, when he comes back. Matthew Young up forward. Sam Van Diemen. Man, he is an electric in that forward pocket. But also Nick Robinson and Stanley Wright in midfield. Just outstanding, along with a couple of other strong East Perth midfielders. Vincent Tini as well, for a couple of other strong players as well. So I reckon those teams, I'm really interested to see how they improve in 2024.
That'll be very interesting. I love seeing that ability for a Perth, who was, again, down towards the bottom with West Coast last year. If they a huge rise up like the Undertaker, will be fantastic. It'll be great for the competition. So we'll go to this. I know last year South Fremantle started the year, unfortunately, with a minus eight, the two game deduction for the breach. Can South Fremantle have a bounce back year after struggling last year to really never really get out from under that weight of being two games down? So we'll start with you, Paul. Can South do it? Can they bounce back this year and contend for a final five spot?
Tough to say. It is tough to say, to be honest. You know, it's always very difficult, you know, to have a bounce back year like that, you know, especially when your backs were against the wall. It wasn't just the 8-point penalty at the beginning of 2023. They had a lot of injuries, and particularly to their most experienced players, but they've also lost a couple of keys off-season, in particular Jimmy Miller, who has gone back to Victoria. That is going to hurt their forward line. He was their most effective forward in 2023, so that is going to be the big question mark for me, if they can truly bounce back as well. But then again, you've got a live wire in Brendan Donaldson, who can kick bags of goals when you least expect it. So he's going to be the forward that can be the key if South Fremantle can bounce back up into the five.
Mm-hmm. That'll be definitely, I'm hoping, like I said, it was tough to watch that South teams, because they really needed a little bit of a bounce back this year. So it'll be fun. So Rick, I will jump to you, sir, as our Swans, Nuffy. They were the kings of close games. I mean, if you would have had hair, I think you would have been pulling it out with how many times they decided they wanted to play within a goal in the last couple of minutes. So will this be another year of close games? I know in the back of your mind, you're probably dreading that. Or can they ease some of your tension and make this season a little bit easier on the eyes? Your thoughts on the Swan season this year?
Yes, and thanks for mentioning the lack of hair on my head again, Donny. Yeah, mate, if you think of it as a glass half full year, you know, they've had a relatively young side, a lot of injuries, very, very rare to have the best 18 on the field or best 22 in the team, particularly the first half of the year. So a lot of those close losses, were six losses in the first eight games by under a goal. They did turn them around with getting a couple of wins later in the season, a few close games. Yes, it's hard watching close games, but I'd rather watch a close game than my team getting thrashed and not being in the game. So I think there was only probably one or two games where, you know, we were out of the game for the whole, basically the whole match. So if you think of your team, you want to go to the games expecting your team to, you know, put up a good show and hoping they win. And I think last year we're pretty confident that we put up a good show most weeks, and that was a good thing. So this year, maybe they've learned from their mistakes, because they, you know, apart from, I think, the very last game of the year where they lost to Peel by 10 points, they were able to snatch some of those close victories with close wins against Perth, West Coast and Subiaco as well. So, yeah, let's hope they can ease the stress on us this year and have a few good wins. And I don't mind a narrow loss here and there, but not six of them in a season in 7 weeks. That's just too much, mate. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I could definitely tell. I can't tell you how many times I would see the score, and my first thought would be, "Oh, Rick, I felt so horrible for you." But it's the life of a footy supporter. So you definitely, for sure.
It sure is. Yeah, you wouldn't have it any other way.
As a Sydney Swan supporter, this is the same thing. I can't tell you how many times that I get a message from some of my friends over there. How are you feeling? I go, Let me let my heart calm down first.
Yeah.
So, but again, I love it. It makes me feel, I swear it makes me feel alive being able to be that connected to a game that's so far away. So again, I absolutely love it and truly love the passion there. So we'll do like we did the women's. Who is a team that missed finals last year that you're looking to potentially be a finalist? We'll start with you, Paul.
Oh, I reckon a couple of those teams that didn't make five do have a big chance. South Fremantle, being the obvious one, with their backs against the wall last year with that 8-point penalty breach, will be a tough year for them. However, Swan Districts, they've got a couple of good new recruits. As I said, they could be key, but I think it's going to be West Perth this year. I mean, they finished off last year with a bang. They're going to be retaining some of their players. And, like you said, Donnie, they have that flow in effect where after a premiership, they don't do so well. Then the year after, they bounce back up the top end of the ladder. So for me, I reckon West Perth can get back into the five and contend for a premiership. They've got the players to do so. They got in their best 22, they'd be winning around about 16 or 17 games when you look at it, if they perform well, that is. They didn't perform well at all last year. They've got a new coach as well in Jason Salisich to add to that. So, and he'd been serving his apprenticeship, so to speak, coaching the reserves to two straight grand finals. So he knows how to take a team all the way, and I reckon he can do it again, possibly do it again with West Perth this year.
Rick, your thoughts, the team outside the finals that may make the five this year.
Well, I'll keep us strictly unbiased, like Paul did, I guess, and say Swans will be the team that'll get into the finals. Look, again, I mentioned earlier, I could see Swans, West Perth, South Fremantle, and well, maybe Perth, but probably not this year. But I think those three teams there, maybe West Perth, Swans, and South in that order, that might be able to sneak into the finals. It just takes, again, a couple of those close results to go away. And Swans have won five more games than finished third on the ladder last year. Same with West Perth. They started the season slowly, finished, as Paul said, with six wins in a row. Play like they did at the end of the season, beginning of the season, they finished on top of the ladder. So probably not really answering your question too much, but I'm going to say Swans again, hand on heart. But I wouldn't be surprised if it's the West Perth or South Fremantle. As to me, as long as it's a close competition and there's seven or eight teams fighting for a spot in the finals, like there was most of last year, to tell you the truth, that'll make for a good season.
Yeah, 100% with you. I really is it's hard to be to get super to love the competition when you're 2 or 3 weeks away from the finals and the five is already set. Like that's the hardest thing because there's very little intrigue. You love going into the finals knowing that one win here and one win there could see a team from seventh jump into fifth and get that final spot in the final. So I love that intrigue. So 100% with you on that, Rick. So, and then kind of like with the women's, East Fremantle was our premiers, ending the long drought of of getting a premiership. Could we see a repeat? Real quick, and no question without notice. When was the last time we had a repeat in the Waffle? I have not had a chance to look that particular stat up, Paul. When was the last repeat premiere in the Waffle? Do either you
It was
know?
Subiaco. It was
Okay. Would
Subiaco,
have been
2018, 19, 2018. They
19,
went
yeah.
through undefeated to add to that. So, yeah, we haven't had a back-to-back premier since Subiaco in 2018, 19. Think about it, the start of the decade, we've had different premiers. And I reckon that trend could possibly continue. Maybe East Fremantle could go back-to-back. They've got the tools to go back-to-back. It's very, very hard at the moment to go back-to-back in the WAFL, considering how even the competition has been in the last 2 or 3 years.
It'd be very interesting. And then I was gonna go off of that is if it's not East Fremantle doing it again, who's your Smokey? Who's your team that you're really looking at being that premiership favorite? We'll start with you, Paul.
I'm actually going to say East Perth. I reckon East Perth can do it this year. With the side that they've got, they played some great football under Ross McQueen. Ross McQueen's a tremendous coach, got great experience in the underage competition as well with WAFL. He made his way over to league after serving as caretaker for the last two games of 2022 when Jeremy Barnard left. And he has taken that side to a key contender position. And with the players that he's got a couple of good new guns in there as well. I reckon he's got what it takes to take East Perth all the way to their first premiership in 22 years.
Rick, you're smoky if East
Okay.
Fremantle doesn't.
Well, just having a look at some of the, I guess, the history. I'm all about the history and the facts of things have gone past. East Fremantle have only ever once gone back to back in the Page system final since 1931. And that was 1945 and 46. So they don't have a history of bouncing back with premierships. So I'm going to say history will repeat itself. They won't go back to back. Who will win this year? Oh, I have a feeling Peel Thunder might bounce back from their defeat last year, only because I think the Dockers have recruited very well for their waffle side this year. if that's a thing that they do at the AFL level, they've recruited
Probably not,
some
but
experienced players, I think some of their more experienced players who played in the AFL team last year may get dropped down to the Peel reserves. I don't really like that because I'm not a fan of the alignment and Peel being boosted by the AFL players, but that's the way it is. So I think they may bounce back from their defeat last year. As far as the Smoky, I'll throw Paul's West Perth in there just because, again, their history of bouncing backwards or back and bouncing back after falling down after a premiership, if that makes sense. But you can never discount Subiaco. They're always up there. They got some good players back. Greg Clark came back. Luke Foley came back from the AFL. Kyron Hayden, I think that's how you pronounce his first name, was a recruit last year that was injured and out the whole season. He comes back. So, and they haven't lost a lot of players. So they're always up there. Again, you asked me for one thing and I give you three every time, Donnie. But let's throw Peel as the premiers at this stage. And then West Perth as the Smoky. How's that?
All right, all right. I absolutely love it. So we cannot have a preview episode without bringing out our crystal balls and having a little bit of fun. So we're going to do some predictions. We don't have to go super into this, but I want to have a little bit of fun. So we'll start on the women's side of the competition, and we'll start with this. Who's your wooden spoon? I never like this one. I always want to get rid of it really quickly. Who is your wooden spoon? We'll start with Paul.
Hate to break your heart, Rick. I'm saying the Swans.
So this is the women's we're talking about first?
Yep.
Yep. The
All
Swans
right.
in the women's
Fair
competition.
enough. Fair enough. I'll go with East Perth. I don't think they're going to improve enough to knock themselves off the bottom of the ladder.
Yeah, I think they'll win a couple of games, but unfortunately, I think if this comp is really, really solid, I think East Perth stay at the bottom of the ladder, but I think they win a couple of games. So I'm with you. I think East Perth will be the wooden spoon on my side. All right, we'll start with the biggest faller. Who's the team from last year will fall the farthest, either out of finals or from there? So Paul, we'll start with you. Biggest faller.
This is a tough one because as you mentioned, Rick and Donnie, the Waffle Women's competition has been absolutely brilliant. But 1 to 4, East Fremantle. I reckon East Fremantle won't make the four. And think about this: they had moved on their premiership coach. And think about it: how's the dynamic going to be affected now? How is that going to bring in a premiership defence? I reckon they're going to find it difficult.
Be interesting for sure. Rick, do you have a biggest faller from last year?
I think it'll be pretty steady. If I was to pick one, let's play a copy game and let's copy Paul and say Fremantle because they were premiers. I've picked South Fremantle to win and I think Claremont will be runners up. And I'll say East Fremantle will finish fourth. So that's a bit of a drop from first to fourth. How's
That'll
that?
it'll be interesting. I worry it's Subiaco. I think Subi falls back a little bit with some of the losses that they have. I think East Fremantle with Zippy Fish and some of the talent that they have, I think they may be able. The biggest question will be is with the coaching hires, is it, how similar is it from the previous coach? Will be fun with that. I think the talent will be able to keep them there. Like I said, it'll be somebody like Georgie Clever. Does she play a lot or not, depending on the AFL side, the AFLW side, and then her netball will be fun to see how that handles there for everything on that. So I think South Fremantle, they're really good. Claremont, yes, they lose a couple in the draft, but I think that the talent is there. Peel will be fun to watch, but I think they have more of a chance of rising up. Swans was there. I worry maybe they fall back a little bit, like what Paul said, just because of the fact that some of the teams around them got better. So it'll be fun on that one. Biggest improver. We'll go with there. Rick, who do you think will be the biggest improver this year?
Based on sort of some of the things that Paul was talking about earlier on, I think probably West Perth may be the big improver. Just having obviously 1 week of looking at fixtures in a practice match, they seem to be quite strong in their game. So I think they're going to be the big improver this year, and they might sneak into the four.
Yeah, I'll go with Brick. I'll say with West Perth, they'll just get there, but they won't be a threat for the premiership, I don't think. But if they can make the finals at least, then that's a big tick in the box.
I'll add the hat trick. I had West Perth as well. So all right, we'll have some fun. Maybe we can go back and look at this when it comes to it. Who makes the four? Who are your four teams that make finals and contend for a premiership? Paul, we'll start with you.
Well, I reckon Claremont will finish on top again. They'll finish on top again. They have done for a couple of years now. South Fremantle will finish second. They'll finish second again on the ladder. And I'll tell you what, it's going to be a tough one. I reckon Subiaco and West Perth will make the four. So there's my four: Claremont, South Fremantle, Subiaco, and West Perth.
Alrighty, and then I'll jump. Hey, Rick, do you want to do one real quick just for fun?
Yeah, I think it's not too dissimilar. I'm not sure Subi will make it. I think East Fremantle will sneak in there. So I think similar top two, Claremont and South Fremantle. I reckon East Fremantle will finish third. They will lose the first semi-final to West Perth in a bit of a boil over.
And then I'm going to hop in here and I'm going to basically say that the top three from last year, Claremont, East Fremantle, South Fremantle, in that same order. And then I think the Falcons of West Perth, I think they get that fourth spot. I think Subiaco and Swans will be right there. I think it'll be close, but it'll be fun to watch. I think West Perth hops in there and gets that final spot. So let's throw it in. We'll go through the finals. Who are the two grand final teams? Who are the teams playing off to win a premiership? Paul, we'll start with you.
This one may cause some heat amongst one group of fans, I reckon. It'll be South Fremantle and Subiaco that'll make it.
Okay, Rick.
I'm going South Fremantle and Claremont.
All right. And I am going Claremont, South Fremantle as well. All right. And premiers, who's raising up the flag? Rick, who do you have as your premiers for next year?
I think we all might be on the similar thing here. I have to think South Fremantle.
All right, Paul.
South Fremantle for me.
Yep, and I'm with you guys. I think South Fremantle, I think Claremont with some of the losses in the draft. I think they have the talent, they'll be there, but I think South Frio kind of they'll get that bounce back after falling short last year in the final. So we'll jump over. We'll do the same thing in the men's, the same category. So we'll start off, Rick. Who's your wooden spoon for the men's competition?
I'm just going to tease Paul and say West Perth, but they never get wooden spoon. No, I'm going to go with West Coast. So not quite West Perth. I still think West Coast. They might win a couple of games this year, but they're not going to push up. Historically, the Eagles have injuries, and they've still got injuries, so I can't see their improvement. Even though I'm hoping they do improve. West Coast wooden spoon again.
All righty, Paul.
Well, turnabout's fair play. I'm going to say Swan Districts. No, just kidding. I'm going to go West Coast. I'm going to go West Coast. As Rick said, a lot of injuries have been mounting. A lot of talk about, their future in the WAFL. There's been rumours they could go to the VFL. There's a deadline of June to make that decision. But I think West Coast, for me, they'll win the wooden spoon. And I think they'll only get 2 points rather than the four again.
Yeah, I literally I will tell this for the recordings. I have my SANFL podcast tomorrow morning, and I'm not looking forward to that conversation of the fact the port has applied to move over to the V to move over to the VFL. So I
Good
that that
God.
particular part of that conversation, I'm not looking forward to it because I know both my guys that are joining there, Darce and oh my gosh, why am I totally forgetting Phil's name? Phil Aspinall are both were very, very, very avid that both Adelaide and Port Adelaide should stay in the SANFL. But we'll address that tomorrow. So with you popping up saying that the West Coast, I honestly believe the AFL want a reserves comp. I think they're going to get it eventually, which is going to infuriate me, especially for guys like you guys who love your competition in the waffle, because though it may be kind of nice to not have to worry about West Coast and the Fremantle Alliance, but it is kind of frustrating for me because there's some history at least with Port Adelaide when it comes to the sample. So now that I've went on my little rant there, I'm gonna throw the hat trick. I think West Coast again. I think there's just enough injury with the experience on the West Coast team that I think that they'll have a few injuries, which will weaken the waffle sides. I think West Coast at the bottom as well. So biggest faller, team that's going to fall down the ladder or just fall back a couple of spots will be the biggest one. So Rick, we'll start with you. Who's the team that you think will descend on the ladder this year?
I'm going for Claremont. I think they've been up there and thereabouts. They're not getting over the line in the finals. They haven't recruited a lot this season. They've lost a couple of good players, like Ben Edwards, for example. Young Miles, who went back to Victoria, was a good player as well. I think Claremont will drop out of the top five this year.
Alrighty, Paul.
Rick, I just want to remind you, I hope the outcome doesn't go, I hope the outcome is a bit different because I made the same mistake last year and Claremont got into a semi-final and I copped a little bit from the Claremont side. I look like an absolute chooch for doing that. So I just hope that it's not the same for you. I'm just praying for you. But I'll say Claremont will fall, but they won't miss the five. I reckon they'll just sneak in, but they won't get any further in the finals.
So, and for me, I'm going to say this, and it may go a little bit against what Rick said, but I think it's Peel. I think it's Peel that falls back because I think Fremantle lost a couple of players in the top. It's going to thin out their AFL ability to send down. I don't think Fremantle is as strong this year. I think Peel may suffer a little bit not having some of those AFLers being able to come down because they don't have as strong a list this year at Fremantle on the AFL side. So I think Peel could potentially be on that radar of a team that could fall back a little bit for sure on that one. Biggest improver, who's a team? I think I know the answer to this one. Biggest improver from last year. Rick, we'll start with you.
So I think I mentioned earlier, I think Perth will be the biggest improver in games one. They will, win maybe 7 or 8 games, I think, and get close to 50% for the season. That's a big improvement from 2 wins. So I will say Perth will be the biggest improver.
All right, Paul.
Perth for me, they'll be obviously the biggest improver. They'll get a few more wins on the board. And if they get, if they just fall short of the five, then that's a real bonus. But Perth for me will improve drastically with their new recruits.
Yeah, and with everything you guys are saying, it's hard to argue with you guys. So I will hop on the bandwagon and say Perth as well. So always the fun one, the five. Who are the five that will make the finals this year for you? Rick, we'll start with you.
Okay, so I'm going to say it's going to be very similar to last year. I'm going to say East Fremantle will be up there. Subiaco, I think East Perth, Peel will finish the regular season in fourth and do something similar to the 2016 and get all their Dockers players back and rush through the finals. That's how they will win the premiership. And I'm going to say, oh, yes, Swans are going to sneak in to the five by beating Perth in the last game of the year by a point after the siren, and they're going to knock West Perth out by 2 points and sneak into fifth place.
Paul's facial expression as you said that was classic.
It had to be at my team's expense, Rick. It had to be.
Sorry, Paul. I couldn't resist. No, I just think I'm just hoping. Unfortunately, I'm actually out of the country for the last 2 weeks of the season. So if that happens, I'm
Oh
not gonna know about it. So
no. Oh
that's
boy.
yeah. Anyway,
All right. Well, here's the salvo, Paul. Who's your five?
all right. I'm gonna give them in order from first to fifth. East Perth will finish on top. East Perth will go on top. I think Subiaco will just fall short of top spot, but they'll finish second. West Perth third. East Fremantle will finish fourth, and Claremont will just sneak in.
Wow, that will be definitely fun there. So let me I'll have my crack at it. I think Claremont, East Fremantle, East Perth for sure. Stewie fourth, and then I think as if I want to keep my predictions that I had earlier, I can't have Peel making it. So and then the fun part is both the two teams that I'm looking at for that final spot are sitting with a vested interest on my podcast here.
We're both waiting, Donnie. Who is it? Who is it? Who is it?
then I was going to throw out a curveball and say South Fremantle will be the fifth spot,
I wanted to say that.
just for fun, just to disappoint everybody. What the heck? I'll say South Fremantle will get in just for you know what's and giggles. So, all right, we'll go to it. Grand final teams. Who are the two teams going to play for the premiership, Rick?
I think it will be. I'm pretty sure. I think I said East Perth third, didn't I? I'm pretty sure I went East Fremantle and East Perth in third. So I think it'll be Peel and East Perth. Will be my predictions for the grand final.
All right, Paul, your grand finalist.
It'll be a Perth Derby Grand Final, East Perth versus West Perth for me. And I tell you what, that is going to produce some fireworks.
All right. And then I'm going to have East Perth and Claremont will be my grand final. So, all right. Who's the team raising the flag at the end of the year, Rick?
So I did say Peel earlier. I'll stick with that. It doesn't make me happy saying it, but I think they will. I said do a repeat of 2016, scrape into the finals, and get boosted by AFL listed players and take out the flag. If that doesn't happen, then I'm hoping for East Perth.
All right, Paul.
I'm going to say East Perth as well. First flag in 22 years.
Yep, and I was going to say East Perth as well. I think this you have the right ability to do that with you have a return you have a returning returning medalist. So I think they just get it done. So that is going to do it, ladies and gentlemen, for the podcast. We went through the women's, we went through the men's. I am super excited for this. I know we have still a few weeks before the women's comp gets started on the 1st of March. I cannot wait. Normally we would do some tipping, but we're just a little bit far out from there, and I don't want to subject these guys to jumping in to the tipping this far away from the first games of the men's, and especially even if the women's are really, really close. So, gentlemen, again, I appreciate you taking the time to hop on the podcast. I cannot wait to work with you two fellas this year. This is going to be a fun Waffle and Waffle W season. Really looking forward to it. Rick, thank you so much.
Thanks, Donnie. Appreciate it, mate. Looking forward to the rest of the season. Thanks, Paul.
Cannot wait. And Paul, thank you for hopping on the podcast. I cannot wait to get back into the once a week having the few episodes of the Waffle podcast that you do around the Waffle. Just a little bit on when is it coming out and how excited are you? Do you have any fun guests hopping on this season?
Well, we've got a few changes to how it's presented, but what I can tell you is that we are going to be returning on the Tuesday before round one. So that'll be March 26. That's when we're returning. Of course, round one beginning on a Thursday night for the first time ever. We're going to preview rather round one on the Thursday, the morning of round one, and a big season preview on March the 26th. So be on the lookout. It's going to be great.
Cannot wait. That'll be so much fun. It's one of my favorite podcasts to listen to keep track on all the happenings in the Waffle and Waffle W. So, ladies and gentlemen, that is going to do it for our first episode of Waffle Wrap Up for this particular season. Again, keep an eye out. As I said, the Sandful episode, the SANFL season preview will be coming out soon. The VFL fixture just came out yesterday, so I am in talks to get my VFL season preview out as well. So all the state leagues will be out before any of the games start, thankfully. And then we have, as the usual, the coup d'etat, the AFL and preview, along with the AFL reviews as well, will be coming out, as well as finishing up my off-season supporter series with a couple of fun chats to go on there. So that'll do it for another Waffle wrap-up. Again, keep an eye out for more footy coverage here on Donnie's Disposal. We'll be back again with more footy coverage very, very soon.